Welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in today for Drew, and this is the live Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Welcome back, everyone. Great to have you here as we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and leading us is our producer, Maggie Greschel. Maggie, thank you so much for leading us in the chaplet today.
Ed, thanks for praying with me today. I know this is a little different. Our listeners are used to hearing Drew pray. We got a lot of feedback when Drew was on his pilgrimages this past fall that the pre-recorded chaplet that we pray that we play is just not the same. So
right, I'm delighted to be part of this.
Yeah.
I love being part of this, and you know, frankly, Maggie, I'm glad that you're leading it because I love to hear you take the lead, and I think that this is going to be just a wonderful change. So thank you so much for including me in part of this.
Well, thank you so much. We've gotten a lot of emails and we've gotten a lot of tweets. We'll probably start out today with a number of written intentions, and we might take a phone call or two towards the end. Ed, is there anything that you would want to lift up today from your end?
Well, I think I want to offer Thanksgiving for a transaction that went very well for our family in terms of being able to reunite us in some way, and we were praying a lot for that. Mm. Pray in anticipation of a very nice Thanksgiving with our son who's going to be visiting us this week, and pray that his travels are safe and that we have a very blessed and loving reunion here over Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, and prayers for anyone that would be on the road this week or weekend. We know that a lot of people are traveling to see their family and their friends, and we want to make sure that everybody's alert on the road and that their guardian angels are watching over them. So let's begin the chaplet then today. So we're going to start in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right, so for this first decade, we have a number of intentions that came in. Poby from California asked us to pray for her as she goes into her fourth surgery to fight cancer. And also, she'd like to lift up her son, Ernest, who is also sick. Christine wrote to us and said that her son, Douglas, is in his last days. We want to lift up that whole family for peace that surpasses all understanding during this difficult time. And we'd like to also pray for the life and health of Erin Mary. She was born yesterday at only 32 weeks due to complications before she was born. It was a fight to keep her in utero even this long, so she could grow a bit more before she was born. Her mother is in a deep sleep. She's had various surgeries since birth, so we want to lift up that whole family. So with that, I want to lift up Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, for the second decade, if you're just tuning in, Drew is out today. Ed Morrissey is guest hosting, and my name's Maggie. I'm one of Drew's producers. I'm leading the chaplet today because we know that that pre-recorded chaplet is just not the same when Drew's out. So we're trying something new. Thanks for being flexible with us today. For the second decade, Joanne is praying for her granddaughter Brittany to return to the Catholic Church and the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. She also wants to pray that her unborn baby girl be cured from the recent diagnosis of Turner's syndrome, and that her parents might have her baptized into the Catholic Church when she's born. Tony and Helen Bressler wrote to us and said, my mother-in-law has a lump on her thyroid. She was scheduled to have a biopsy, but suddenly the lump was gone. Secondly, I'd like to pray, I'd sent in a prayer request for a lady who was blind in one eye since birth. She'd had two surgeries to correct the problem and neither had worked. This time things were different. She now has regained sight in that eye and can see out of it for the first time in her life. She says, I'm writing in praise and thanksgiving to God. And lastly, Madonna wrote to us. She said, Dear Drew, please pray for all teachers who have some students who come from homes that have many problems. Pray that teachers have wisdom to know how to help these families. I believe it. So yes. With this, Lord, we want to pray this second decade. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, decade three. Let's take a couple of more written intentions, and maybe these last two decades will take a phone call or two. Dana wrote to us. She said, please pray for my friend Sam, who has stage 3 colon cancer. He has a 5-year-old daughter and a loving wife. May the Lord please bring healing to him. A caller from Texas called in earlier and said, a 3-month-old baby named Everett last night couldn't breathe. A mass identified as a tumor seems to be pushing against his little airway. Emergency surgery is scheduled within the hour, so we want to lift up little baby Everett. And lastly, Adam is praying for Elizabeth Spangler that her heart failure and other health conditions can be cured, and that she might be in good health for many years to come for her family, that they would all grow in faith. So with that, we lift that up today. Lord, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, wonderful. So we're on the fourth decade. We're going to take Lori's call from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Lori, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm praying for a good and holy priest. His name's Father Tony. He's devoted to Our Lady and Divine Mercy. He has pancreatic and liver cancer, and the doctors can't help him anymore, and he doesn't have long to live. I'm praying for our dear Lord to miraculously heal him so he continue to bring souls to Christ.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Lori, God bless you, and thank you for listening, and thank you for lifting up these intentions for, you said it was Father Tony?
Correct.
All right, we'll lift up Father Tony now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we are on the fifth decade of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And if you're just tuning in and you're wondering what is going on, Drew is out of the office today. Ed Morrissey is filling in as a guest host today. And I'm Maggie, one of Drew's producers, and I'm leading the chaplet today because we know that pre-recorded version just isn't the same as the live. So with that, we're going to take Leo calling in from Texas. Leo, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Thank you, Maggie. And first off, just my prayers, Thanksgiving for your service and for Ed's service and for your families, especially for this Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And I like to pray for young men and all young men and women who are enlisting in the armed forces. I have one in particular in mind. His name is Anthony Ike. I'd just like to ask everyone to pray for his spiritual and physical protection while he serves our country in the military.
Absolutely. Is he related to you, or is this a family
friend?
He's
a close family son, and his parents are my godparents, or godparents of one of my children. So
wonderful. Yeah, let's lift up everybody in our armed services. May they be home or abroad, or just about to join the military. God bless everybody. Leo, thank you for listening, and thank you for tuning in today. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Sapochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, Maggie, that was wonderful, and I feel very blessed to have been part of that. And for those who were patiently waiting and we didn't get a chance to include you on the air, just know that both Maggie and I are reading your prayers, and we were including those in our heart as we were reading the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And so thank you very much. And again, Maggie, thank you so much for doing this and allowing me to be part of the live Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's quite a blessing.
You bet. You bet. Well, you had mentioned something just before we went on the air earlier, and you said that you saw a really neat exhibition.
Yes.
Was it this weekend?
It was last weekend, actually. It was here in the Waco area where I live now. And it was a exposition of, I think it was over 130 relics of the saints. And it's part of what's called treasuresofthechurch.com. And they had they actually had two different events here in town. One was at two different Catholic parishes here. And it was Father Carlos Martins was the is the director of Treasures of the Church. It's based in Detroit, Michigan, but they travel all over the country, all over the world, actually, with a number of these relics. They work with the Vatican to have these relics on constant exhibition. So they go through different places, and Father Carlos Martins does a presentation prior to going over through these. And did a wonderful presentation on St. Maria Goretti. And I knew the story, but I hadn't heard all of the details, right? And it just this amazingly powerful exposition on this. And then after we've gone through this, we went over to a different area. It's a hall because there was a lot of these reliquaries there. And you were allowed to come up and touch objects to it, to each of them. In some cases, you could just pick them up and bless yourself with them. And it really was a wonderful experience, Maggie. It really allowed, I think, us to have that close physical presence with the saints and to remind ourselves of the lessons that the saints teach us. I've really never actually been through anything like that before. When I was living in Minneapolis, or near Minneapolis, at the cathedral in St. Paul, they had a showing of a reliquary, I think of St. Paul, actually. This was several years ago. I'm not exactly sure when this was, and it was more on display, right? It was more that you came up, you knelt in front of it, but you didn't interact with it. You didn't interact with it, right? And so I was actually really amazed that they allowed people to handle these beautiful reliquaries. I mean, just really beautiful, gorgeous reliquaries, all of which had been authenticated. The authentication was in each and every one of these, and some of which goes back to the very beginning of the church. They had a relic of the True Cross. It's supposed to be the largest, two of the largest pieces that they have separated, because of course, all of this got separated into relics a long time ago. And you see, some of these are actually embedded in altars around the world. But it was just this wonderful, wonderful experience going through this and having that closeness and being reminded not just of the saints that you connect with yourself, but just on the vast treasury of the saints in the Catholic Church. And one of the things that you go through when you're doing this, and Father Martins was talking about this, is leave yourself open to seeing if the Spirit is talking to you, the Holy Spirit's talking to you through a particular saint. And you might have some sort of physical reaction. You might hear something, smell something, see something.
How interesting.
And it was really interesting. I actually did have sort of a, it's sort of a presence feeling. It wasn't like taste or smell or anything like that, but it's just sort of a presence around. And this is what really was interesting to me, was a relic of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And Father Martin's, I wouldn't say lecture. I mean, that's what it was. But I mean, it didn't feel like somebody standing up there, you know, waggling his finger. But you know, his presentation, lecture's such a bad word, right? It's a perfectly normal word, but it just sounds bad in context. His presentation, he was talking about how the saints are really trying to reach out and be friends with us, right? They want us to connect with them because they want to be our guide. They want to be our guide to sainthood and to the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that really occurred to me was St. Maximilian Kolbe was actually the very first saint story I ever read. And I read it as a kid in the Reader's Digest. They had this, you know, this great story about St. Maximilian Kolbe shortly after he was canonized, I believe. And it must have been like, you know, 1973, 1974. And I used to read my grandparents' old Reader's Digests, right? And I was reading this, and it's a, you know, just this incredible story. For people who aren't, I'm sure everybody in the audience probably knows, you know, St. Maximilian Kolbe's story, but he was an inmate at Auschwitz, and he convinced the Nazi guards to allow him to take somebody's place that they had marked for execution. And he went off with a number of different inmates that they had marked off for execution, and he was the last of them to die. He was ministering to each of them as they were all dying, and they finally had to kill him with an injection of carbolic acid. He was the last one left alive in that group because he lasted long enough to minister to each of them until they were killed. And I mean, it's an amazing story. And so that really got me thinking about St. Maximilian Kolbe and the idea that, you know, if the saints are trying to reach out to us and trying to, you know, become friends with us, if you will, that probably started when I was a kid. Right? Because I got that first taste of the saint story, and I was never immersed in the saint stories. For a long time, it was the only one I knew, other than just the obvious, you know, things that we know about some of the more prominent saints. And so, yeah, there's this, I got a chance to really connect with St. Maximilian Kolbe, but also just going through there, Maggie, and seeing all of the different, yeah, the wide variety and all of the different experiences over two millennia of sainthood, of saints.
Yeah, I used to live down south, and I know you're in Texas now, Ed. I was in Tennessee for the last 10 years before moving to Chicago, and I had a lot of lovely Protestant friends, and I always used to try and convince them that, I mean, saints are the superheroes of the modern age, because I'd be like, you know, the Bible doesn't stop there. You know, we were commissioned to go out and do great things in Christ's name, and that's who these saints are. So it's amazing when you can encounter ones like that that really reach through the veil and grab you like that.
It really is. And look, I mean, this is the first I ever heard of this. And, you know, I've been doing relevant radio for years and years and years. I've never even heard of anything like this before. And so it was just amazing. So if you look up treasuresofthechurch.com, you can find out more about this. And, you know, they also, you know, they have, you know, DVDs of the presentation, Blu-ray DVD type of things of the presentation. They have other things that you can purchase through there. But, you know, I got a copy of the DVD. I haven't watched it yet, but apparently it's the same presentation. And then it takes you on a visual tour, a video tour, if you will, through the same thing. Clearly not quite the same as being there in physically present amongst these reliquaries. But my goodness, it's really quite an experience. And if you hear of this coming near you, I would suggest that you do whatever you can to go to this presentation. It is really it's really moving, and I think that the more people get a chance to do that, I think the closer tied to their faith that they're going to become. And I'm hoping that that's the case for me as well. You know, I'm hoping that this is an experience that will stick with me for a very, very long time, all the way through my life. And hopefully, you know, in my struggle to get somewhere close to sainthood, it will push me a little bit in the correct direction. So, again, Maggie's laughing, but, you know, I'm totally serious about that. I can use all the help I could get. So, you know, treasuresofthechurch.com, if you're interested in that, maybe Drew will have them on at some point to discuss this further, but it was really a remarkable experience. Maggie Greschel, again, thank you so much for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Let's go to a break. I'm Ed Morrissey filling in for Drew and the Drew Mariani Show. We'll be right back.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew today on the Drew Mariani Show, taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to turn our attention now to, we talked a little bit with Pro-Life Center Director Reverend James Harden about the necessity of standing up for life. We're going to talk a little bit about one of the great options here for standing up for life, which is adoption, and what a blessing that is, and all the different aspects, all the different ways in which we can embrace that. Joining us now to talk about that is Brooke Taylor. She's a radio veteran, host of the globally downloaded podcast, The Brooke Taylor Show, and she's also, like me, a frequent guest host here on Relevant Radio. Not that there's any pressure here. Brooke's radio career spans over 2 decades, working in various formats and interviewing world leaders and notable scholars, theologians, and Catholic thinkers of our day. Brooke is the founder of St. Gabriel Media and the author of Choose Joy and Choose Hope, and contributing writer to the book Our Friend Faustina. She and her husband Jim are busy raising their 5 children, 4 sons and a daughter they adopted from Poland. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ed. It's so good to be with you.
It is wonderful to have you with us, Brooke. And what a great topic, too. But it's also great to greet a fellow Relevant Radio guest host. I don't think I ever got a chance to do that before. This is great.
Well, it's Thanksgiving week, so I feel like it's family time. It really is
family
like
time.
Relevant Radio. Yeah, what a gift. So it's good to meet you.
And speaking of being family time, you know, segue alert. Speaking of family time, adoption is, we talk a lot about it in terms of it just being an option. It comes up a lot in debate. But I think that some of that just doesn't drill down into the breadth and depth of what adoption actually means. And so this month is, we're celebrating adoption this month, right?
It is National Adoption Awareness Month, and it was just neat. You know, I prayed the chaplet along with you and Maggie, and I heard your beautiful story talking about the relics and your relationship with St. Maximilian Kolbe, and it just made my heart jump, because I think therein lies part of the key, is this radical reliance on Christ that was paved for us, first by Our Lady and her yes, her fiat to the disciples and all the great saints. And that for us was our story, because we never imagined adopting, but we have a great community in the Cleveland, Ohio area where I live, and great, great pro-life community. It was an area where Protestants and Catholics had a lot of solidarity. And so for me, that spoke greater than any sermon to see these families adopting. And we always just thought we would be a supportive role for others who were called to adopt. We were always pro-life. We stood at the line of Planned Parenthood. My husband and I, we attended the Right to Life events, 40 Days for Life. There is a home called Maggie's Place, and every year I would emcee their gala. But we never felt that for us, that was part of our story until we had three boys, and then we had what's called secondary infertility. And so we just were not able to have more children at that time. And I had several miscarriages. And so then slowly, and this is the beauty of the church, is there, I think for so much of our lives, there is this illusion of control. And in order is good. It's good to have our planners and our schedule. But it's when we put our trust in ourselves and not God. And this is, for me, the first lesson of there's really only so much I can control. Because for a couple who is praying for a baby, they're open to life, and maybe it's a year that they can't conceive. You know, for that family, that couple, that woman, it's not just 1 year. It's 12 months where you're praying and you're waiting and you're hoping, and every month. And then you realize the result on that pregnancy test is still outside my own power after a certain point. And, you know, I just think it's such a great opportunity for a follower of Christ, because that was out of my control. And in my desperation, we could have gone down that road of in vitro fertilization or all of the different things a reproductive specialist promise you. But because I had seen this beautiful example of so many other families and this radical reliance choosing adoption, it became actually something that we thought about. And I think for many, maybe it's just something that they didn't feel they were ever called to, or it wasn't familiar to them. But I'm just so grateful. I look back now, and if you've ever had a miracle, sometimes you're thinking, did I even live through that? It just seems like such a dream. And so looking back now on the whole adoption, because for us, we ended up going to Poland. I didn't even know you could adopt in Poland. And that really was the intercession of John Paul II and St. Faustina and all of our Polish saints. And in such a personal way that had I not lived through it myself, I don't think I would have believed it.
You know, Brooke, it really does come back to, I think, you know, for Catholics and Christians in general, it really does come back to the fact that we're all adopted, right? I mean that our theology is one of adoption, is one of God adopting us as his sons and daughters rather than servants. Through the grace of Christ, we can, I don't want to say we can achieve that, because that's also outside of our control, right? I mean, God's grace is outside of our control, but by trying to form ourselves, to God's will, it allows the Holy Spirit to work within us and allows that spirit of adoption. And I think that we actually have sort of that formation already. And I think maybe it's just a struggle to recognize that. Even especially because it's so incredibly difficult to go through some of these infertility issues that you're talking about, and I've known people who've gone through this. It's crushing. I mean, it just really is, because these are your hopes, your aspirations, and you realize it's out of your control. And so is our own adoption, really, to a large extent.
It is, but yet there is an opportunity, because our Lord doesn't say, take your prosperity and follow me and take your picture perfect life and follow me. So there in this moment, we can either be crushed by the weight of the cross, or we can say, okay, Lord, I know that you're using this struggle, this cross. And of course, our world runs from that and flees for that and says, let's not do that. Let's make a solution. And really, there is glory that awaits if we just have this radical reliance. And in Scripture, we read, care for the least of these, feed the hungry, care for the orphans and widow, because our Lord is telling us that if you want to know me, then come where I said you would find me. Go to those places where you are going out of your comfort zone, and you have to act in faith. And we had no idea then when we gave our yes. I mean, we would lay up at night, I would, you know, my husband, and worry, you hear stories, you know, will we be able to surmount whatever challenges lie ahead? Will I be able to love this child? This is a baby that ostensibly will have been in an orphanage for an unknown amount of time. Will there be other issues? And in the end, what happened along the way was unbelievable, all the way down to the name of our child, where we ended up going. And her orphanage was in Częstochowa, Poland, the home of Jasnogóra Monastery, which really is where our journey first began in the long story of our adoption. But she was then later diagnosed with severe intellectual disabilities and autism. But learning to live in the present moment and realizing that from the very beginning, I live and breathe because God loved me into being and loves me so. You know, that for me is a reminder. I can't control. I could lay up at night and worry about what's going to happen in her future and how far will she continue to advance and develop. But there's a great freedom, like the saints, in this radical reliance of, I am like Abraham. He went out to a land that he was to receive as an inheritance, not knowing where he was to go. And the sooner that we just embrace the present moment in the gift of the grace of now, I think there's such a joy in that. And there's so many people dealing with anxiety. And I think a lot of it is because they feel things are out of their control. And so for us, this whole story, this journey of adopting and having a situation that was far bigger than what we could predict or the outcome that we could control, it was an opportunity not to kind of go up and climb the ladder and ascend, but to stoop and to be little. And I feel little every day, but, you know, with some of the challenges that we have. But there's such a great beauty in that, because it's this muscle of working this trust. Jesus, I trust in you every day.
We're speaking with Brooke Taylor, radio veteran, host of the globally downloaded podcast, The Brooke Taylor Show, and frequent guest host right here on Relevant Radio, taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Brooke, how did the adoption process impact the rest of your family? Because, I mean, you had the three children already, and so this is something that, you know, certainly that had to be on your mind too, a concern about how your first three children would react. But I'm assuming that certainly it worked out well. You can hear that in your voice as you're talking about this. But were there concerns about that? Did that process surprise you at all?
Absolutely. There have been so many surprises, but all good, of course, not right. Every aspect, because that's life. But in the process of adoption, we found out around the same time, just a few weeks difference, around the same time that we received what's called a referral. So that was where they called us and they said, we have your child. This is her information. We are going to send pictures. I had just found out that we were pregnant. So that was a surprise. And I had had so many miscarriages. Also at the same time, I found out my parents, my dad and mom, they just lived about a mile down the road, that my dad was diagnosed with a terminal cancer diagnosis. Oh. And so here, you know, at that time of my life, I was working a morning show, getting up at 3 a.m. for some reason, homeschooling our three little boys, then, you know, finding out that my dad had terminal cancer and that our baby was here and that I was pregnant. And I really think that what sustained me was working that muscle every morning. During this process of the adoption, I had begun a habit of waking up at 3 a.m. and praying in front of our family kneeler in the posture of prayer, because we're so busy and we multitask. Most days we're all in a hurry, but there's something, and St. Faustina taught me about stopping and paying attention to what God is saying today. And so that was where I learned to say, Jesus, I trust in you. And all the things then that subsequently happened, we were able to meet, not with anxiety and panic, but okay, you're in this moment, Lord, and in all of our family by extension of that. And that includes our sons, our three sons now, who are 21 and 18 and 16, and it's enormously blessed our family. There have been challenges, but this is the beauty of the domestic church. And, you know, John Paul II talks about this, the greatest sermon of his life he preached in the last few months of his life when he had a tracheotomy. And, you know, people around the world were observing the paradox of the cross, life, death, and resurrection. And there is something so beautiful when you are loved for the sake of love. And that's Carolina. She today is 12 years old. And we thought for many years, we wondered if she would talk. She was nonverbal until about the age of 8. And now she talks much more than we ever imagined. And it might just be words or songs here and there. It is. But she brings a joy. You know, we may care for her physically, but she cares for us metaphysically, we say. And everyone who encounters her experiences it. She received her first communion in last year at Valentine's Day. And people came into the church who were not Catholic, who had never even set foot in a church, to watch her receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And so just, again, it's the sermon of her life that she's preaching, that she belongs, that she's loved, that she has joy, and there is a veil that's lifted, that she knows our Lord. And so there has been such an enriching and enlargement of hearts, I think, in our sons, that had we not given our yes and had that fear held us back, we never would have experienced.
We are speaking with Brooke Taylor, again, radio veteran, host of the globally downloaded podcast, The Brooke Taylor Show, frequent guest host here on Relevant Radio, taking your calls at 888-914-9149. We're going to take a break, but if you've got any questions or stories to share about adoption, be sure to give us a call at 888-914-9149. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew Mariani. We'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Get the facts, get the faith. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. This is Ed Morrissey filling in for Drew today. We're talking with Brooke Taylor, and I should have mentioned Brooke Taylor's website, brooketaylor.us. That's B-R-O-O-K-E, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R.us. And that's her website there. You can find out all sorts of different things about Brooke Taylor there as well. And we're talking with Brooke about adoption. And Brooke, first off, thank you so much for sharing all of that about your own personal journey through adoption. And I think that sharing that certainly will, I think, help people feel better about taking those very first steps.
Yeah, and even just the conversation, you know, because there for us was not even a hint of maybe we're called to that until it was presented, you know, and
right.
Then the idea of, okay, Lord, is this, are you calling us by name? And that's each of us, Isaiah 1:4, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And a name is a huge part of our story, because I'll just share quickly, but it is like one of the most exciting parts of the journey with the adoption is that with our baby, we had no idea, will this be a boy or a girl or what age or what name? And having had three boys already, they all had G names, Gabriel, Grant, Garrett, and we liked the name Mary Grace. So that was what we decided if she was a girl. And so we, you know, prayed for her, or we didn't know, but we had a boy name and a girl name. And then this name started to come into my mind, and I would be on the treadmill and it would pop into my mind, the name Carolina. I would be driving and praying my rosary, the name Carolina. And at the time, I didn't really put all the connections together, but I spoke to my friend Gloria, who was 100% Polish. I had met her at a parish function it was on March 5th. And she said, how's the adoption going? She knew she had prayed for our family. And I told her about this name. And I said, that's Polish, right? And she said, oh, yes, it's common. It's very Polish. And that same night was the night that we received the call from our adoption agency. And the agent said, we have this baby. She is 9 months old. She has green eyes. She was born premature. And her name is Carolina. And
wow.
That was, I mean, and there I have... And maybe because the Lord knows that I'm such a skeptic, I had a witness that day in Gloria who knew that I expressed to her, you know, this name and that scripture, Isaiah 1:4, do not fear, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name. And then it wasn't until perhaps a little later that I put it together that that's also the feminine form of Carol, Carol Wojtyła, who really was such an intercessor in taking us there to Częstochowa, Poland, where Carolina was. So, you know, those details, and I think you were talking about the saints and how as a child, you know, these ways that perhaps they were interceding for you, and may we have eyes open to see, because it really is amazing when you think the Lord loves me this much to call me by name, to, you know, this cloud of witnesses that we're surrounded by to have me blessed in this way. So it really, it's been humbling every step of the way.
Indeed. Again, we're talking with Brooke Taylor. BrookeTaylor.us is her website. You mentioned the fact that, you know, you weren't sure what you were getting into, what the situation was going to be. And of course, any parent always worries, you know, how healthy is my child? It doesn't matter whether you're adopting or whether you're having the child through the normal, you know, reproductive means. You always are concerned about these things. And I think people allow that fear to maybe stop them sometimes in terms of adoption. But you have a particular perspective on this about special needs children and how that, what the positive impact of that is. And I've heard this before from other parents, not just adoptive parents, but, you know, parents who have had special needs children, and they always talk about the blessings that come out of that, the blessings that they feel from that. And I think that that's a particularly important perspective, especially in today's utilitarian culture.
Mm. Absolutely. And that's been one of our greatest joys, too, is to be able to encounter other families along this journey that have children with different disabilities, and the joy and the purity. Our daughter's favorite thing in the world is garbage truck day. So there is this joy and this glee of just seeing and hearing the garbage truck backing up. And
that's
it
awesome.
Sounds silly. But, you know, our entire family, we giggle. You can't help but giggle the way that she sees the world, the purity, because she's so busy just taking in the love of her family around her. And that is so instructive. But, you know, I think too, we live in a country that is so good at making things look good on the outside. Our social media accounts are perfect. Our buildings, our cities are beautiful. Our ads, of course, this time of year, we're going to see all sorts of retail perfection being sold to us. But we know when you look at the numbers that millions are crumbling on the inside. 1 in 4 after COVID being diagnosed, they say, with a feeling of depression. And so I think for us, one of the beauties is that the walk that we've been called to, the brokenness is not hidden. It's very real. It's very obvious. But there also, again, is the glory of Christ. When I am weak, then I am strong. And the idea that God's ways are so much better than my own. I can't even imagine, had we not given our yes to this radical reliance, to adoption, to Carolina, and to the way that our lives have been forever changed. Again, it's a metaphysical change, and also detaching from what really matters and the idea that I need to control. And there is such a freedom that comes from that, and there's a peace. And I hope that it is the peace of Christ, the peace that the saints have, where they're able to walk into the Colosseum, or like when you were sharing about St. Maximilian Kolbe, that the rest of the world is drawn to, because it doesn't make sense. It's only through God's grace. And, you know, the world, there's so much darkness right now. And I always say we have to light lamps to get people home. And Carolina is such a bright light. And she has, I think, brought a lot of people home just through the testimony of the witness of her life. And we're so blessed that we can witness that as well.
It's such a beautiful expression, Brooke. It's such a beautiful story. And I have to say, I think that the garbage day thing is really cute. That was my first ambition as a child, was to be a garbage man. And, you know, my mother didn't think it was quite that cute at the time, but of course, you know. So I really can relate to that, and God bless her. That is just awfully heartwarming, and I think it really speaks to what you're talking about here, which is the joy that you get when you open up your lives to others, and no matter in which way they come to you. Now we are getting a couple of phone calls about people who want to know, how do you get the process started? How do you start the process of adoption? And it really, I mean, there are many different ways to do this. What do you think that people should look for in choosing a method of seeking out an adoption?
Well, I would say one of the first is to go to Our Lady, and, you know, to pray, Blessed Mother, and to, yes, our Lord and to the saints. You know, that obviously is the beginning. And to have that conversation, there's a great website. It's CatholicAdoptionOnline.com. And I think that's just a good, because we had no idea. And I want to just encourage people too, that again, when you see the details, I just had a chance to speak to a church last week, and I encountered a mom who adopted a daughter from Russia, and we were both talking about, can you, like, if we were to begin the process now, I wouldn't know where to begin. I would be so intimidated. But when the Lord calls you to something and grips your heart, there is no mountain you will not move. And so I will just say that in every sense, it has been worth it more than I can even calculate. It's incalculable. But there are things that you have to know going in. Okay, we have to do a home study. And especially if it is an international adoption, maybe you're called to adopt locally or to foster first. What's exciting about that, though, is it is an adventure. And so you know that our Lord will take you by the hand and lead you soul to soul to these children or one child that only he could ordain and orchestrate. But to have those resources, I think, is a good place to start. And CatholicAdoptionOnline.com, I would recommend just as a beginning point.
I think so as well. CatholicAdoptionOnline.com is the website?
That's it.
CatholicAdoptionOnline.com. And look, I mean, it's a choice to love, right? Love is always a choice. And that's what we're called to do, is to choose to love. And people have different callings for this, right? So maybe not everybody is called to do this, but I would bet that many more people are called to do this than think they are. Brooke Taylor, thank you so much for being with us and opening our eyes to that.
Thanks, Ed. God bless you.
God bless you. Brooke Taylor. BrookeTaylor.us is her website, so be sure to check that out as well. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew Mariani. We'll be right back.